Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The other part about this is like the offseason injuries and these ticky-tack injuries, I feel like are going to have an impact on the season this year. I'm not fully online in the sense that I think Rashee Rice looks like overweight or like people are like, you know, making the jokes that like guy looks like he's moving in quicksand. He doesn't look to be anywhere close to game speed yet, I think is probably fair, but he was never, and I think this is probably important, he was never like a burner. Like Rashee Rice wasn't out there just making everybody look like they were standing still either. He was good in the middle part of the areas, good at getting open, good in zone coverage, similar to that as Travis Kelce. But I do think I'm kind of mentally preparing for maybe a bit of a slow start from him because the offseason knee surgery, the slow start to training camp, the unavailability for a portion of it. He's got 3 more weeks of practice to get fully up there, but I think it might take 1 or 2 weeks before Rice starts to kind of look closer to himself, which isn't the end of the world when you're having an offseason surgery, but like I just don't plan on him hitting the ground running, I guess is what I would say.
I don't think it will be a slow start.
I don't think,
you know, the football shape stuff, to me, he has gotten through that already during camp. The first day or so that he was actually out at practice, you could tell the Chiefs were intentionally having him not get many plays off. Like, hey, he was leaving to go on the sideline. They're like, no, get back in the huddle. Like, I think they got him in shape. It doesn't take much. I'll go to Dana Hughes' comments yesterday, former Chiefs wide receiver, when he joined us about that, where you can have guys that don't show up in shape at camp, and by the end of camp, back in, he's talking about during his days, back at camp, those guys were in unbelievable shape. So Rashee Rice, yes, we all know he had to rehab the knee while he was in and out of jail, unfortunately. But when you look at camp and being in football shape from day one to 3.5 weeks in St. Joe, it's not hard to get in shape at a position like wide receiver. This is not the same as like when we made jokes back in the day of Kelvin Benjamin overeating and Deebo Samuel a year or so ago. That's not what has happened here with Rashee Rice. I disagree. I think he will be ready to go to start the season. Now, the part I'm most concerned about with Rashee Rice on the field is the drops. And has he cleared that up? Because he did have a bunch of drops yesterday at practice as well. That's way more concerning than like, hey, is he just in shape and running the routes the proper way or able to finish the route the proper way? I'm more worried about the drops that we saw at camp.
Look, the truth is, no, it's not secured away because he's still doing it. And I guess this goes back to, like, you mentioned what Danan said. I would mention what Nate said, too, when he was talking about, like, Eric Bieniemy has to yell at him every single day to finish a play. Like, go all the way through the whistle, Rashee. And I wonder if some of that's just from, like, exhaustion. Like, he's not, you hope it's not effort.
Yeah.
And then
but
it's
he's
just
got
like,
another three. If you still,
he does.
I don't think he
does have another 3 weeks.
If you think he's not in shape still, and I disagree on it, but if that's the case, he's got 3 more weeks before that's, you understand? This, just because camp, as you know, I know you know this, but just remind people just because training camp ended today does not mean that they're just, that they're still practicing after the preseason game on Saturday. They're just not in St. Joe anymore.
I will say I hope I'm right and you're not, because I don't think he looks quite as swift as normal. So like, I hope for our sake that I'm right in a weird way, only because if you're right and he's up to shape and he's all the good, then I don't think he looks as spry as he used to. I don't feel like he's moving with the same intention as I am accustomed to out of Rashee Rice. And again, that's not to say that I think he just looks terrible, but I don't think he looks quite the same as I'm used to in previous training camps. And I feel like he's still got some work to do in order to like get back to, I mean, right now,
he was
let's
be clear, he was never just this guy that looked, look how quick he is off the line of scrimmage. That was never his game.
No doubt.
Are we not going to know until they play a game, though?
Because
sure.
Because I think, Cody, to what you're saying, in those clips, when he's going up against Mansoor, or even Noah Williams, I think to an extent, there's no separation, and I don't know if that is because Mansoor Delane is that dude, like we kind of expect him to be, as much as it is Rashee's just out of shape or hasn't quite caught back up to where he expects to be at.
And he was really bad against man coverage last year.
Yeah.
I think what's tough about it is like right now, we still assume that Rashee Rice is the most important wide receiver, because if we all ranked right now, all right, let's guess who has the most targets on the Chiefs this year. We all guessing Rice?
Should be.
I think he's
been on pace at least when he's played.
He's been well above everybody anytime he's on the football field. He's been ahead of Travis Kelce when he's on the football field. We should safely assume that this season, if Rashee Rice is available for 17 games, he will easily lead the team in targets. Like, I'm not even sure it would be all that close of a race, unless Cyrus Allen really is Puka Nacua or something, then it's just probably, or, you know, Travis Kelce turns back the clock 10 years. It's hard to imagine a world in which he isn't the leader. And I guess that's why I just understand, I'm probably being nitpicky in fairness, but it is because he is their number one wide receiver, and you kind of want him up and going from jump right away, looking the same, looking like Rice when he's on the field in the previous two seasons when he's healthy, and finding ways to at least get yards, I'm get catches, saying, you know, those things.
And you absolutely could end up being right. I'm just saying it's interesting how we've both have talked about this season and how we've talked about the Broncos game. None of us have given official predictions for week one, but if we had a topic earlier this week too. You say you think the defense is going to start slow. You're now telling me you think Rice is going to start slow. How the hell are you picking the Chiefs to win in week one? You better be picking the Broncos to win the way you're talking, which is fine. I'm just saying, like, everything you've said this week would tell me you absolutely think the Chiefs are losing week one. You think the defense is starting slow, which I'm not even saying you're wrong, but that Rashee Rice is not going to start great. I mean, how are they winning week one, Cody?
So, and I guess just Mahomes. I don't think Mahomes will start slow, okay. So I guess for whatever that's worth. In fairness, I'd have to, you know, like when we get closer to it, obviously I make those predictions. I don't think it's out of the question to predict them to lose.
Totally. No, they're only 2.5-point favorites anyway, right?
It's definitely not out of question. That's at least, and this is something I've pointed out too. The one good thing about these things are their schedule favors a slow by their state. And they can win and
need
not
a quick
be
start
up
though.
To speed.
Like, because they got to take advantage of the schedule.
Sure. But I think they can win games. Like, I think the defense can be a bit rocky or Rice can be a little off kilter and still win football games because Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, their ability to win close games. Like, I just give them the benefit that against the Cardinals, even if the defense isn't up to
speed. The Cardinals game is like week 10 anyway. Week two, it's the Colts, though, to your point. Yeah. Against the Colts, you can get
they don't have to play the Ray game.
But in week one against the Broncos, I'm not so sure.
That's the one game maybe in their first 5 weeks where you're like, before the bye, 6 weeks before, because really, when I say slow start, I pretty much mean before the bye.
Okay, so here's just for Fred, I know you know, but just to refresh everybody's memory. They open up, Monday night, gets the Broncos at home. Home to the Colts, at Miami, at the Raiders, then the bye. So that's what, you know, even if in that scenario, worst case scenario, they need to be 3-1.
Their bye's in week 5?
Yeah.
You don't remember that?
I didn't think it was early. It's the earliest in the NFL this year.
Which is why, I guess, whenever we find out more about this Ashton Gelati injury, you know, what's the timeline for him? Is there a chance that the bye helps him in that scenario if it means that he's in that time frame? Without knowing more, as I said, I'm guessing it's a late October thing for Gelati at the earliest, but who knows? Maybe I'm way off. I hope it's all of a sudden it's week 3 and he's good to go magically.
I will say the only thing, and I'm not saying the Ashton Gelati news is nothing, because it's definitely not nothing. That'd be too unfair. On the Chiefs defensive line, where does he rank as most important defensive lineman? I probably would have had him behind R. Mason Thomas anyway. Maybe that's a bad way of looking at
not
it.
Not in week one, I wouldn't. I think long term and for the season. Okay. Not in week one. That's you're asking a lot now.
That's fair. I was just ranking as like for this season.
Yeah, for the season and long term, of course, it's R. Mason Thomas. You draft him the second round, and the speed rusher capability that he has, they don't have anybody else that can really get to that level. I just think in week one, you're now asking a lot of R. Mason Thomas.
R. Mason's going to start then, right?
It would have been
Gelati.
I would think so. Yeah,
but in active members, let's just call Gelati in this, he would have been behind Jones, Tonga, Woods, Karloftis. I would have had him even still, I think, slightly behind R. Mason and then Gelati. So he's an important player, and he was more important than FAU or Ogba or some of these other guys who are further down the depth chart. But, I mean, at least they actually have some other names on the defensive line for the first time in a million years. This is why they spent their second round pick and their first round pick on defensive linemen. They can cover it slightly better this year than they could in a number of other years, right?
Yeah. And last year he had 1.5 sack. So I don't want to make it seem like Gelati is coming off a 7 sack year and it's like, oh my gosh. But we were all expecting Gelati to take the leap from 1.5. Could he be a 4 sack guy this year?
I think at one point we were hoping that he would play more because Charles Amenihu was struggling and, you know, the rest of the line was struggling where I think we all had been talking about on the show that we wanted him to get more of a look.
And here's the other secondary part of this injury that we haven't mentioned. It seems minor, but I wonder how it'll impact Saturday. Now that you know Gelati's going to miss some time, How much? I mean, you want to see R. Mason Thomas Saturday, but you got to be careful about playing him now because he might be, as we're saying, he might be your starting defensive end, Emmanuel Ogba. Like some of these guys that now are going to be asked to do more. How much do you want to even play them? But R. Mason Thomas at the same time does need some more reps if he's going to be the guy. It's a tough juggling
Felix
act.
He's going to get some run, for sure.
Most of it is ticky tack stuff, as in they'll recover it within the time before the season starts. Not the Gelati one, but the other ones. Shut the whole preseason down. They got just enough injury problems at just enough important places. It's like for Mahomes. Three of the starting offensive linemen are going to play. Don't put them behind backup offensive linemen. We're not nuts. Borderline, I'm not so sure Justin Fields should play. He will. But like R. Mason, Ogba, like people who I'm counting on, like FAU, I don't need FAU playing in a preseason game, Drew. It can be all the guys' names you don't even know. It could be the players on the roster that, like, unless you're a huge college football fan from the last 10 years, you're like, who? It can be all of those guys for the next two games, as far as I'm concerned. It's just enough injury risk that in a lot of different positions, corner, defensive line, quarterback, offensive line, it's like spread out everywhere. I'm not real interested in risking much in the preseason.
Yeah, I still just think if it's a longer timetable, and we're talking about Pupless IR for Gelati, I wonder on the waiver wire I think they're going to have to bring somebody in. It doesn't mean they're bringing in a guy that's going to start over everybody. I just mean they're going to have to bring somebody in, I think, for that defensive line rotation.
I mean,
they like to rotate plenty of different bodies in there on the defensive line to begin with. And then now you're telling me that in week one against the Broncos, I think it's very fair to say you're not going to have Gelati.
I wonder if they...
It could be Malik Herring or something. Is he a free agent?
No, not that.
Someone mentioned Charles Domenico on the text line.
Some former chief.
Oh, he didn't have anything left. He's done.
Because it's weird. The way the preseason works now, too, is traditionally you would have like cut days. Like there'd be multiple cut days where instead you just have one massive one. Do they wait until they find out, who got cut, who didn't, and then they just fire on the waiver wire, or they look at a practice squad and try to snag somebody off of that, or whatever the case is.
Aren't they eighth on the waiver order right now?
Yeah, they're relatively high.
So that gives them a decent chance at claiming some defensive lineman maybe that another team cuts.
Are there going to be, do we know, I haven't paid any attention, are there going to be any like surprise cuts where young player steps up to be really good, they cut a vet who might have been solid last year, but they want to save some money, or they want to save a roster spot for a young guy.
Turk Gordon that'd be the guy. Is he getting?
Panthers aren't cutting him.
I don't think after paying him what they did, I don't think so either.
Yeah, to answer your question, Drew, I haven't been paying too much attention. I have no clue who the cut candidates are for some other NFL teams on the defensive line. That's a good question.
They'd rather bring back Carlos Dunlap, retired Carlos Dunlap, than some of the other names that we mentioned.
What's Melvin Ingram doing? Age 40-something-year-old Melvin Ingram these days.
SpotTrack's got a list of who they think are potential NFL release candidates.
Okay.
As in, guys who they think could be surprise guys on the list. I will point out that Christian Fulton's on this list.
Yeah, they're not cutting. They're not eating that money.
And Calvin Ridley. So there's a couple of interesting names. Slayton from the Cincinnati Bengals to Darryl Slayton. I don't know who that is.
He's an interior guy. There's no chance because they have Tonga.
Bud Dupree gets a mention on here. Solomon Thomas gets a mention on here as possible guys. Ty Hamilton for the Rams gets a mention on here. There's a couple of guys. Nwosu, the edge guy for Seattle, gets mentioned on here as well. So he's a $20 million 2026 cap hit. So obviously they'd be just looking to save money. What can the Chiefs even save money if they moved on from Christian Fulton?
No, that's I don't think he's a cut candidate. I think they still owe him over $10 million, don't they?
I thought so too. They had him listed on here, and I was just asking.
He's a name that people have been saying maybe they could try to find a trade for him. What's the
$8 million dead cap? $5 million to cut him.
Yeah, I think he's worth being on the roster still. For that number?
I just don't think you're going to get a corner that you would like to play more for $5 million, I guess, is the problem.
Howie Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow Howie Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.